also using the local wisdom already that we have in different communities and different localities. I think that is really rich. But I think these opportunities are not well captured, and we should learn more about these stories and these successful cases further in the region.
Hello and welcome to Corporate Social Impact Insights. I'm Siddharth Chatterjee from the AVPN Academy team, and this is a series where we interview experts and leaders to learn about how we can amplify our contribution as practitioners in the corporate social impact space. Our conversation today is with Joyce Wong, Grant Manager at Porticus. Porticus advises a Dutch-German family on their philanthropic giving across the globe. And one of the key areas that they've been involved in Asia, is the corporate sustainability ecosystem. So a fundamental question that they've tried to answer here is how can we de-risk innovation so that corporate organizations are empowered to take the lead in sustainability? This is also the topic of our conversation today, and we're building on a recent learning circle on the same topic that Joyce led as the featured practitioner. Now, learning circles are small group discussions for corporate practitioners, and you can find out more about them in the description below. But for now, I'm glad that we're able to share Joyce's insights, along with perspectives that came up in that learning circle in our conversation today. In this conversation, we talk about some of the key levers that can drive corporate innovation for sustainability, and the gaps that hinder innovation. We also go into examples of organizations across sectors that are addressing these gaps in meaningful ways in Asia. Finally, we took a look ahead into opportunities and challenges that Joyce sees in the sustainability space. It was great to have Joyce's clarity and perspective on what can often seem like an incredibly complex issue, sustainability. I hope you find this conversation as valuable as I did, and now let's get you to it. Hi, Joyce. It's wonderful to have you on the podcast. So excited to be here. To get us started, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do at Porticus?
First of all, thank you for having me. A brief introduction of Porticus. So we advise a Dutch-German family on their philanthropic giving across the globe. We have offices in six regions, including Asia. And in Asia, we mainly work in Southeast Asia, India, Bangladesh. So this is the scope of work we do in Asia. Thematically, we work in four major areas. First, we work on a program called Building Future Generations that essentially is about holistic education for a lot of our partner communities. Second is it's called Strengthening the Society. So this sector supports partners in the vulnerable communities, for example, migrant workers, refugees. So this is the second sector of work. Third is the church and faith sector. This is a Catholic family. So we also support the Catholic Church and the organization to do a lot of philanthropic work through the church. Last but not least is our caring for the earth sector. That will be including our support in nature and climate space. That's a part of the Purposeful Business Program, which I'm leading in Asia. So this is a brief introduction of the work of Porticus.
And I think very interesting to hear of the thematic areas, and something that will become clear soon is the relevance of the work that you're doing in the corporate sustainability space, and especially the relevance to people who are working either as corporate social impact practitioners or who are working as other stakeholders in sustainability and corporate sustainability specifically. So maybe that's something that you could touch upon. So what is this purposeful business program, and what is the work that you're specifically doing in Asia?
Yeah, thank you. So Purposeful Business is quite new in Asia. This program started in 2017 in Europe. We have been running the program up for a few years in Europe, and we just started the scoping work in Asia at the beginning of last year and officially launched the program in Asia in September. So we are just 1 year old, quite new, but we are trying to learn as much as we can and serve our partners. So for Purposeful Business, essentially, we believe that it's important to engage businesses and support businesses in order to strive for a sustainable future. When we talk about corporate sustainability, it seems like a lot of pressure has been rest on policymakers, regulators, and also corporates. But at the same time, we think as a philanthropy or advisors for philanthropy, we think that there are our roles that we could play and support business to do good. So for our system approach or system change goal, we are trying to make a long-term goal. So our long-term goal is actually to create an environment that de-risks ambition and innovation for business leaders by creating better infrastructure for them to do good. If I may, maybe I'll just go deeper into some of the work we do. So for podcasts, there are three major outcomes or areas that we focus on. First is about policy and regulations. Second is about better resources and data. And third is about multi-stakeholder engagement. For the policy and regulation, it is quite straightforward that better policy and regulation would enable business to do good. And I would just share one of the examples that one of the partnerships that we have in a global level, we work with an organization or NGO called Business for Nature. What they do is they work closely with proactive businesses and advocate for a higher level of policy or regulations. And then last year in COP15 in Montreal, they pushed for the new global biodiversity framework that required big businesses and investors, they have to disclose their impact on nature and biodiversity by 2030. So with that, you level the playing field, right? Everyone has to report, and that's the new standards. So that lift up the expectation for a lot of countries. So this is one of the examples for policy and regulations. And second is the data and resources. In the past, as podcast working in Europe, we support several corporate reporting standards like SASB, CDP, and three other major ones, to support them to talk to each other and potentially merge together. So with that effort, together with other foundations, we supported the launch for ISSB through the IFRS Foundation, the International Sustainability Standard Board. So with that, this is a harmonized standard, global baseline. So with that, it was easier for all companies to report. We don't have five different standards. Now you have one. ISSB is not perfect, but then we also support them to work with different partners in the region to contextualize, including our Asia partner Sustainable Finance Institute Asia, that work closely with the ASEAN states in contextualizing what does it mean to adopt ISSB in the region. So this is for better data and resources. And for multi-stakeholder approach, basically all of our partners in the region are engaging different stakeholders in the project. For example, Sustainable Finance Institute Asia, they also engage the government sector in adoption of ISSB and also working with different CSO or NGOs in the region. So this is the gist of our program and also our partnerships.
Right. Thank you so much. That's a very helpful snapshot. And I think what's really interesting is the level at which Porticus is working in Asia is really at the, as you mentioned, at the systems change level. And that really gives you a kind of bird's eye perspective on what are the key levers for corporate innovation and sustainability. And of course, the flip side of it is what are the gaps that are kind of hindering innovation for corporate sustainability. So I really wanted to kind of highlight that. So these are the three areas that you've identified, which is policy, and then the second one is data and resources. Third one is multi-stakeholder approach, if I got those correct. And I think that's really interesting. Is that something that was similar to your approach globally in Europe before, or how did you go about identifying that?
So for podcasts, we currently adopt a global program approach, meaning that for purposeful business, it is actually a global program. And then we have colleagues in Europe, in the United States, and also me in Asia, that we are launching or implementing this program or supporting partners in achieving the program goal. Having said that, so better policy and regulation, better data and resources, and also multi-stakeholder approach and engagement would be all the outcomes that we do. But as you would probably think that, I mean, in Asia, how we realize our strength or how we support partnership might be different from that from Europe and the United States. So with that, I think in Asia, we focus more on capacity strengthening or maybe providing better resources and data to train Asian businesses on what does it mean for corporate accountability? Because I think in Asia, it's still quite a new topic. And as you can imagine, we have a lot of smaller enterprises in Asia. And at the same time, when you talk about sustainability and the scope 3 emission are usually in the global south, meaning Asia also is an important part of the global supply chain. But a lot of companies doesn't know how to report, you know, to the brands and they're required by the buyers, etc. So in a sense, it's very important to engage business in Asia and also to have a dialogue with them. And what does it mean to them? And what are the challenges? And what could different stakeholders in the ecosystem to support them further in this journey? Because sometimes you have the requirement, we require them to report. Reporting is not the end of the story. It's about the change of business behavior and business model and mindset. And it takes more thoughts and more resources to realize that. And we've been talking about Asia as if it's a whole unified thing, but as you know, it's not. I mean, even different countries in Southeast Asia are so unique. So we're just starting our journey, but for the next step, we are very curious also to design more country-specific support to our partners.
Right. It's very interesting you mentioned how diverse Asia is, and because we've just come from this very recent conversation we had on a learning circle, which is a small group discussion, and you were very grateful to have you as the featured practitioner for that learning circle. And I think one of the things that came up in that learning circle was also, as you mentioned, moving away from seeing sustainability as a reporting obligation or as a public exercise to seeing it as an opportunity. So as you mentioned, there are various business models that have become possible or that ride on sustainability becoming a very key theme and very important global concern. So sustainability can seem like an obligation for corporates, but for corporate innovators out there, it's really an opportunity. And we're seeing huge businesses come up, for example, maybe Tesla, which are really based on seeing sustainability as an opportunity and not an obligation. And that's something that is not my view, but it came up in the learning circle. And I found that really interesting. So I thought I'd just mention that and kind of going into a little bit what you've learned. So absolutely accepting that, you know, you're very new, just had your first birthday this month, first year working in Asia. But what is it that you've already seen in terms of opportunities and challenges for people working in corporate sustainability?
Thank you for the question. You have already mentioned some of the opportunities. And one thing I want to add is this journey of sustainability could also bring a lot of innovation. For example, the solar energy could also be the lowest cost of electricity. There are technology out there. And so I think this is something that could also make business case or business sense to invest in renewable energy. So that technological innovation is one of the biggest opportunities. And also in Asia, there's so much technological advancement. And Asia is leading in a lot of renewable energy sector or the productions. So I could see that this is one of the opportunities. And the second is that Asia is rich in a lot of natural resources, forests, and also just a lot of different biodiversity that's also natural resources. And thinking how to further innovate with the natural resources we have for in order to have a sustainable future, this is also an opportunity. So Podcast is also working closely with indigenous people, for example, in Indonesia, and working in restorative economic system and working with communities and figure out what are commodities that could make business sense for the community, but at the same time, sustainable and also will produce social goods. So as this conversation evolves, we can have different levels of innovation in a macro level, how the reporting system, business model, but also on the ground, you can also work with communities for sustainable model and also using the local wisdom already that we have in different communities and different localities. I think that is really rich. But I think these opportunities are not well captured and we should learn more about these stories and these successful cases further in the region. So that's the opportunities. And for the challenges, we have quite a few, but maybe I will leave a positive note for now.
No, I mean, we're very kind of accepting of the difficulties. And I think that's something that in the sustainability space and in the impact space in general, we do see the gravity of the task. So I think it would be interesting to hear a challenge that you think is there in the space.
I think there are several major challenges, but I think I'm just going to first share a high-level one. We talk about sustainability and corporate accountability, or even the net zero journey. The carbon footprint of Asians, the average Asian, is actually way lower than a Western developed country per capita. But at the same time, the most vulnerables are those are in the global south, right? And the extreme weather disasters. So even in Hong Kong, we had a flood last week that we didn't foresee and we were not really prepared for. So it was so hard to imagine that magnitude of disasters in other Asian countries or cities. So when you talk about sustainability and net zero, it seems like a lot of policy and regulations are top down from the West to the East, even for corporate reporting. And it seems a lot of pressure has been rest upon the supply chain and the global South. I think this has to be acknowledged in a lot of conversation in the first place. The challenge that we have was brought by a lot of injustice in the past. And I think it's important to acknowledge that in the conversation and even in the thought process of corporate sustainability and accountability conversation. So having said that, I think for Podicus, we have a global team and then I'm based in Asia. What I have been actively wanting to do is also to elevate the voice of Asian companies, Asian philanthropies, and NGOs in a more global conversation. Even with a lot of partnerships with international organizations, we also want them to have representation from different countries from the global south. Not only rest upon a lot of their staff member from the West, but also including the voice of the global South country into their work, design and implementation. So I think it's still a challenge in a way. So I think it's very important for more philanthropy and NGO to come into this space and also to elevate some of the success stories of Asia. What have we been doing well? I think those are important for others to know as well. This is also an effort Podicus and other Asian funders are trying to do to pull in more wisdom from Asian stories and Asian businesses. So this is one of the challenge but opportunity. And second is that a lot of Asian countries are still trying to grow the GDP and trying to lead people out of poverty. So when you look at the day job for SMEs, a lot of them are still trying to get profit that could sustain their workforce and et cetera. So sometimes the sustainability conversation could add burden to them because they still need to report. They have to think about what they should do to make changes. So with that, it's also one of the areas that podcasts have heard about. A lot of SMEs or even big companies, like, we don't know what exactly we can do. Do you have a toolkit, case studies just for us to kickstart? So for podcasts, we are supporting partners to develop the toolkit. Like easy step for them to change. It might not be the most holistic, comprehensive, but at least we can move forward like step by step. So challenge, but opportunity at the same time.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you went into it because I think that's really the crux of it. And that's why this conversation is important, is that as a part of the developing world, we do have to lead people out of poverty in all of our countries, and we are going to have to develop. So there's no question about that. At the same time, we also have to be sustainable. So really, it is a question of solving both problems. And that's why innovation is so important, because there's a challenge that you can't really solve it in the ways that we've solved it in the past. So the traditional wisdom of, you know, lowering the carbon footprint, well, per capita, it's already quite low in Asia, and it doesn't seem to be possible to stop Asia from developing, neither is it sensible. So how do you actually solve both those problems together? And that's actually a solution that we can't really get from the developed world, because it's not one that has been figured out yet. And that's really, it's really why we are having these conversations. And it's something that has been a major focus for AVPN as well. Our conference just a couple of months ago, the AVPN Global Conference 2023, one of the key themes was global challenges, Asian solutions. So it's really on us to find the solutions. That's why it's really important that you're focused on highlighting Asian voices and really understanding the problem rather than us just borrowing the conception of limiting, you know, being sustainable supply chains. What does it even mean in Asia when you also have to create incomes for so many people and so many small and medium enterprises? So I'm really glad that you did bring that up. And that's something for us to think about. And it's something for us to take again as an opportunity. As you said, it's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. I think that's the mindset that we have to have towards it. So now that we're kind of drawing towards the close of this conversation, and it's been really useful to hear from you on all these perspectives, but I wanted to ask if you had any closing thoughts for corporate impact practitioners, and then a two-parter. So the second part of the question is, how can we learn more about the work that you're doing, and are there any upcoming projects that we can learn more about? And of course, anything that you mentioned that we can share, we will share on the description of this podcast. So any closing thoughts, and then what's next for you, and how can we stay with you on that journey?
Yeah, thank you for the question. There are two things I want to highlight for my self-reflection. First is that I think the multi-stakeholder approach is so important, even though we're thinking about corporate sustainability, but corporates don't have to work on it alone, you know. For government, if they have better policy and regulation in place, then it will be easier for companies to do good and also push the laggards to do better with a level playing field. And also with the support from NGOs, sometimes they could also help to solve some of the social challenges that companies face, right? So I think the collaboration between government, businesses, philanthropy, and NGOs will be very important in this journey. And second is that I believe that for those who work in the sustainability world, is sometimes could be quite stressful because a lot are on your plate if you have to do your corporate reporting, but at the same time, you have to also influence internally on how to change business behavior and some of the operations within your company. Sometimes it's quite stressful. But I'm so glad I'm part of this AVPN Learning Circle because I could learn also from corporates about the perspective and also from different practitioners in Asia about their thoughts. Having this safe space is very important. So if you don't have a safe space yet, I would recommend you to find one to also keep your mental health in check. I think this is one of the good ways. So for those who would like to learn more about the work of podcasts, you can also reach out to me to have bilateral calls, or I could also send you more information if you're interested. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Joyce. On the topic of, you know, finding a community and a safe space, that's really something that we hope to be able to create at AVPN for a lot of corporate social impact practitioners. So it involves this podcast. It also involves the one that we just came from, a learning circle, which is small group discussions that we do on a monthly basis. And it's really, I am glad you mentioned the word safe space, because that's really part of the intent for us, is how can we create a space where practitioners feel free to share what they're struggling with, as well as what's worked for them. So very glad you mentioned that. And so glad to have you on this podcast. I think it's a really important conversation to be having, and very grateful that you could join us. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Corporate Social Impact Insights is part of the AVPN Academy Corporate Social Impact Center, which is established in partnership with Johnson & Johnson, Miller Trust, and Visa. The center also includes self-paced modules, a library of content, and learning circles, which are a monthly series of small group discussions for corporate practitioners. Learn more at academy.avpn.asia. This is a monthly podcast series, and we hope you will tune in for another episode soon. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.